This is Loving Guardian.
And Vexing Cat here.
We hope to titillate, educate,
and encourage you to enjoy more sexplicit content.
Well, welcome, Vex, to the first episode of our new podcast. For the listeners at home who are going to be tuning in for the first time, what is sexplicit content? What are we going to be doing here?
We're a sex-positive podcast. We're hoping to educate everyone about various topics that are covered in sexuality and just sharing and being more open with the community at large. Because there's a lot of people that have questions that don't know who necessarily to reach out to get those questions answered.
Couldn't put it better myself. And so today, our first episode is going to be back to basics, and we're going to be talking about consent and safe words. So let's start at the very beginning. What is consent?
So consent is a variety of different things, but primarily it can come in a couple of different forms. Realistically speaking, consent is one party agreeing to have a sexual concourse with another party.
And so as Vex said, consent can take many forms. The misconception is that you have to explicitly ask someone, "Hello, would you like me to put my penis inside you, or would you like to put your penis inside me?" And I know a lot of people are opposed to that because they feel it will ruin the mood, it's too direct. But the bare bones of consent is that you gain an explicit permission from the other person to engage in sexual intercourse with them. And so this doesn't have to be going up to them and saying, "Hello, I want to have sex with you." It could be, "Do you want to take it to the next level while, you know, making out?" Or, "Is this okay?" Any form of a question that clearly states what your intention is and allows them to give a basic yes or no answer. And the other thing that we need to discuss about consent in this area is that consent is the presence of a yes, not the absence of a no. So you have not gained consent if the other person is reluctant to give consent or does not explicitly say no, but you just have a vibe that they want to do it. We stand by the policy of no means no. And so for people out there, it's always okay to say no, but you do need to explicitly say no because it's never your fault, but your partner may take your lack of a no as an unspoken yes.
Never be afraid to say no. I mean, realistically speaking, you can be hot and heavy with a person and feel amazing, but suddenly you get this intuition or feeling or sensation, or maybe they say the wrong thing and suddenly the mood is gone, at least for you, and you should have every right to say no. And if that means you've got to put some clothes back on or, you know, reevaluate where you're like physically at, you know, hot and heavy wise, then you need to be able to say no. And more importantly, your partner, whoever they are, has to listen to you because that means they respect you and they appreciate your honesty.
Absolutely. And so some of the big don'ts of consent going on from that. Firstly, don't pressure someone into giving you consent. This means if someone says no, don't then repeatedly ask them or continue to ask them to consent to you, but in different forms. So if they say no, but then you're like, "Are you sure? You know, do you mean that? You know, do you want to take some time to think about it?" No. If they say no, drop the issue, put the ball in their court so they can come back to you on their terms. Don't assume that consent is one agreement fits all. consent is a flexible and adaptive concept. It can be withdrawn in the middle of sex. It can be withdrawn at any point. The kind of agreed upon acts, the things you're cool doing, can be changed mid act. And so don't just assume that because you've got consent, you have free rein over that other person, or that they cannot withdraw their consent. This isn't a legally binding contract. This is someone giving you permission to do one of the most intimate things on the planet with them. And not to be crass, but if you try to play the "this is a legally binding contract and you owe me something now," you're a dick and you shouldn't have sex.
Isn't that the truth? Jesus.
Okay, so, my darling Vex, my gorgeous podcast host, what are some of the things that we need to discuss before sexual intercourse?
So, one of the things that you have to remember is how to ask consent without ruining the moment. Establishing consent, boundaries, what your triggers are, what your needs are after you play, after you have that intimate moment with that person. Because, I mean, not that I have anything against it per se, but the old nut and bolt is not the best technique, in my opinion.
Okay, so let's break down some of the things that Vex has just said. So, Vex, what do you mean when you say you need to discuss boundaries?
So boundaries, basically what's okay, what's not okay. We don't have to go into explicit detail, but basically if there's a part of your body that you don't feel comfortable being touched or kissed, or it makes you feel pain or anything that makes you feel unsure of the situation, just tell them. Not everyone is, you know, into oral. Not everyone is into anal. Not everyone is into, like, full penetration. Sometimes you just want to do some heavy petting and edge your way to almost getting there and ride that high. So you just need to establish with your partner what you expect from playing with them, from having that intimacy with that person. So, like, if you wanted to say it's like, you know, tonight I want you to, honestly, I want you to give me cunnilingus, I want you to finger bang me, but we're not going to do full penetration, but I'm totally down with also doing oral on you, I'm totally okay with doing a hand job on you, you know, whatever it is you feel comfortable doing. And if your partner is pushing for more, that goes back to the no means no. I cannot stress that enough, because this is what we're talking about, boundaries. And then another big one is triggers. If you have a previous negative experience with, you know, being pinned down during sex and that makes you uncomfortable, that may trigger something that can be violent or even like extremely stressful and, you know, harmful to both you and your partner. So establish, it's like, hey, you know, honestly, I don't want your hands anywhere near my throat. That will trigger a bad episode and make this not a good time. And then, of course, aftercare. Gotta love aftercare. Some people want like a few minutes of a snuggle under a blanket. Some people want somebody to hold them the rest of the evening. You need to say that up front, that, hey, I have needs. I need you to go with me in the shower and scrub my back, or I need you to like cuddle up next to me. I want to sleep on your chest. I want to be held. Or, you know, it could be something as simple as like, hey, can we like cuddle on the couch for a while, watch a movie, just chill, and just be together after the intimacy. Some people, they don't need that. And that is perfectly okay. It's just like, hey, this is great. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. And that is, you know, that's your prerogative. Everybody's got different needs.
Absolutely, and it is, as Vex said, crucial to establish those needs before the intercourse begins so that you're not thrown for a loop after. So, moving away from purely consent. Let's talk a little bit about safe words, which I think is a nice little segue from what we were just talking about. So safe words are a word or phrase that don't usually appear during sex, and it should be used to indicate that the events unfolding are making you uncomfortable and you would like the sex to stop because of this. So to break that down a little bit, safe words are typically a phrase that you choose that is your way of saying, I don't want to continue, or at least I don't want to continue this specific act. That can always be talked about after the safe word has been used. But the important thing is that there is a phrase that you are comfortable using that specifically says, I don't want to continue. Now, you may be thinking, why do you have to pick a safe word? Why not simply use no or stop? And that would seem like the common sense move. However, no and stop can actually appear in consensual sexual scenarios, such as CNC play, which is consensual non-consent play, or certain roleplay scenarios. We will be going into those sort of sexual interests in a future episode, so don't worry if we're throwing terms at you that you don't understand. So, Vex, how do you pick a safe word?
Generally speaking, I like to choose a word that is not going to have anything to do with what we're doing. My go-to word for me is cinnamon, because even if there's something in my mouth, you can generally get the... It has a specific cadence, and it's going to be very clear. And then there's also hand gestures, which I highly, highly recommend, because in some scenarios, if your mouth is full... And you don't necessarily have the ability to enunciate a word, you might want to come up with a hand sign, like a peace sign or like three-finger salute, something to signify it's like, hey, we need to stop because this is not okay, or I need a break, whatever the case is. And whenever that comes into play, you use your safe word. All play must cease, period. You need to... unbind their mouth, or they need to step away for a second and let things either cool down or appraise the situation and figure out what it is that needs to stop or continue or be adjusted. Because sometimes it's something as simple as like, hey, I need a second to catch my breath and let's go back. You know, it just a quick safe word utilizing, it's like, hey, I need this to stop for a moment. I'm still very much into what's going on, or I need to change something, so I still am. But, so for me, I like cinnamon. People use weird words all the time. Cocoa, umbrella, things that have nothing to do with sex, generally, because sometimes no or stop can be misconstrued and or misheard, and then it can cease all play, and it may not have needed to be that level of cease and desist, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely. And we did get a question from an interested party who did ask us, how do you pick a safe word that isn't silly? And I think Vex has summed it up really well. Simply pick a word that is out of place in sex but isn't inherently silly. So cinnamon, peppermint, elephant. You don't need to scream like, Grandma's cookies!
Holy rosary! No.
Absolutely. You don't need to say something that is silly, because the aim of a safe word isn't to get you out of the mood. Rather, it's about indicating in a clear and explicit way, I don't want this to continue. And so... moving on to our next section. So we're now going to answer some questions that were submitted by people that we reached out to who were interested in having some questions answered on the podcast. If you would like to submit a question to Sexplicit Content, you can by emailing us at sexplicitcontentpodcast@gmail.com. All questions will be answered anonymously, and we can assure you full discretion on both responding to you and answering your question on the podcast. all of our questions today are about consent and safe words, and so I hope that some of these questions can help any queries you might have as well. So the first question is this. I'm currently with my first girlfriend, and she is my first sexual partner. Sex is always consensual, but I'm always worried she feels pressured into it, even though I know that is not the case. I'm a relatively large guy, and I worry about how my actions come across. Do you have any advice? I think we communicate okay, it's just a mental thing.
Here, this is my take on this. Make sure your partner is comfortable. Start with a mundane topic, before easing the conversation towards the topic of having sex. Don't jump into it by telling your partner what you want immediately. Don't be aggressive. Don't use innuendo or seductive lines. Being aggressive will only make her clam up worse or make her withdraw from you. The best way you can do this is keep your distance, but remember to use open body language. That means like hands at your side. When you're facing her, keep your hands very loose. And if you are touching her, keep it to a less erogenous zone. And don't sound too serious or intense. Communication is a big key. Ask her if she feels that way or if it's something she wants in that moment. Be prepared that the answer could be no, and then just snuggle her. Relax and enjoy the moment. If you're really concerned that she's feeling pressured, put her in positions of power where she can control the situation. Tell her what made you think of her in that way. Was it the dress she's wearing, the way she wore her hair up off her neck that day, etc.? Discuss what you want to do and where. Shower sex, kitchen counter, couch, bedroom, wherever. If it's done correctly, it can easily turn into foreplay. Keep discussing sex while not doing it, and your partner might just release all of that pent-up frustration by jumping you right then and there.
I'd just like to add to Vex's wonderful answer. As the question asker did say that he is a larger man, this goes out to all the larger men out there. You know, your stature could be intimidating to a partner who is smaller than you. So just as Vex said, be aware of your body language and how you respond to certain things physically, because that might be the reason that you feel that she's uncomfortable. It might just be that she is responding in a fight or flight response to unconscious body language or to a specific movement that you make. So just be aware of yourself and your surroundings and the kind of dynamic you have with your partner.
I mean, realistically, if you're a big man, get to the point where you're sitting on a couch and then like, hey, babe, you want to sit on my lap? You know, start there because she's sitting on top of your laps. She's above you. So she's looking down from you. So she's going to automatically feel a little bit more safe. And then you can rub her back, you can like rub her shoulders, and just make her feel good. And then if, you know, she leans against you and maybe you kiss her forehead or her brow and you just, you know, ease into the conversations, like tell her how beautiful she is. But like I said, just put her in a situation where she's in power. And I'm not saying it's a power exchange dynamic. I'm just saying that she'll feel physically safer and or more secure if you are in a position where you're under her. And that might mean quite literally where she's rocking the boat, if you know what I mean. So our second question came in from another listener. I may become involved with a woman who uses medical marijuana. How does this affect her state of mind and consent as a wider issue?
So the important thing to remember is that marijuana is a drug that can impair cognitive function. I would say that you need to be able to say with a good degree of confidence that they are able to give clear and rational consent for sexual intercourse when asked. This means that they're not slurring their words or they're not taking long pauses to answer your question, because when it comes to marijuana, that's not them thinking about their answer. That's their brain working at reduced capacity and operating speed. If you want to play it safe, maybe avoid intercourse with her around times when she's directly high, at least until you get to know her more intimately and are able to learn how she is when she is high. It's a tough topic. I'm not a smoker myself. But yeah, it's always an interesting issue, isn't it, Vex, when it comes to this is the situation X involving an inebriating or an intoxicating substance and how that affects consent, because I think the same can just be said for alcohol as well.
Alcohol, prescription medications, medical marijuana, there's any number of things that can affect both your judgment and or your ability to cognitively represent yourself. So if this person is on medical marijuana, it's probably for pain management. That is the most common use for marijuana, as far as from a medical field. Basically, she probably knows what her tolerance is, and she probably uses it just for pain management, which means she built up quite a tolerance to the actual psychotropic effect of marijuana. I think you're probably on the right track, though, loving guardian, because honestly, as long as he gets to know her better, when she's not taking the medical marijuana, you know, then there's no question of consent. And then once you get to know her and understand what her usage is and what she's using it, because it might be something that's a really low dose, at that point you're actually being very cognizant of what her needs are. If she's obviously in a lot of pain, she's probably not interested in having fun. And if she's in that much pain and she's taking her marijuana, then she's probably going to tell you ahead of time, it's like, honey, it's not happening tonight. So I think just get to know her better and figure out what her usage is.
Yeah, I think for people who aren't kind of familiar with marijuana and are listening to this and kind of thinking, so how does this affect me? When it comes to kind of medical grade marijuana for pain relief, imagine this is the same as asking a partner to consent who's just taken like a super strong Benadryl. You know, something that is gonna slow them down a little bit and kind of numbs them out a little bit. So any sort of medicine that does that is similar to what's happening here. Not exactly the same, but it's kind of the closest we can give you if this is an issue you're also worried about, but it's not about marijuana. So, Vex, do I need a contract to confirm consent?
I suppose if we're going to go into a sex dungeon, maybe, but or if you're going to be doing something for film or like a situation where there's going to be work involved, perhaps. Generally speaking, you don't need a legally binding document between yourself and a partner. You just need, you know, two parties to understand what it is that the other is asking when they say, hey, I like you. I want to have sex with you. It seems pretty inherent that the person saying that is saying yes. But go ahead and clarify. Hey, do you want to have sex with me? Explicitly just say the answer. It's a yes or no question. Do you need to have a contract? Not generally. That seems to be more of a newer thing. Like, there's the consent applications that are out there that are questionable, and there's some like legal ramifications. But honestly, just ask. And if at any point the answer has changed to no, then just stop. I don't know. That's a funny question to ask.
It is, but I think the important thing we need to state here is that consent needs to be flexible. I personally dislike contracts outside of, as Vex said, something where a contract needs to be given for a permission of some sort, so filming, that sort of thing. But contracts will often take away a person's, you know, comfort with withdrawing from a sexual act if they're not comfortable with it, because they'll be worried that the other person can turn around and say, but I have this thing saying you were cool with this. So I am personally opposed to contracts because I do believe that consent needs to be a much more flexible thing than just, I signed my rights away to have sex. And so yeah, so Vex did mention consent apps. These are a fairly new trend. Typically they involve a digital handshake agreement in which one partner writes down the acts on an app that they want to perform, and then the other partner is shown those and consents to them in a variety of ways depending on the app. We are not going to say don't use these, they are questionable, but you do need to know that if you decide to use a consent app, this is not a legal proof of consent. If someone turns around and accuses you of sexual assault, accuses you of rape, accuses you of any sort of sexual crime of that nature, that consent app is not admissible in court as proof that they did consent to you. And that's because, thankfully, the law does establish that consent can be withdrawn at any time, even if a contract is drawn up. And again, I don't mean to be crass, but if you're the sort of person who, when your partner, like, withdraws consent for any reason, and you turn around and you said, but we had a deal, you're a dick and you shouldn't be having sex.
Oh, I shouldn't laugh, because there are people out there that actually think that it's like, well, if I can't have sex, then it's your fault. And that is a horrible, horrible mindset. And I just, it boggles the mind for me. So yes, if I'm in a situation where I say no, it's probably because you've done something that it made me uncomfortable with the whole idea of having sex. And God knows I love sex. So you've obviously messed up somewhere and you dropped the ball. Not I. The person that says no is the person in power, because it's their body, their right, and their choice. So realistically, if they're saying no, it's probably for a good reason, at least for them. And that should always be enough. And I think that this whole idea of a legal binding document, there was an article, something about in Sweden, that was going to be a thing. Legislation was moving in that direction. I don't know, the whole thing is a little bit preposterous in my opinion. Two people should be able to make a decision whether or not sex can happen. And obviously, if both people are sober and of clear state of mind and are legally, mentally able to represent themselves, I think they can make a decision on whether sex is going to happen between them. But you signed an agreement, so? If it's no, then that means the mood is gone, period. I mean, we shouldn't even have to worry about it after that. We just move on. It's like, hey, no, I'm going to put my pants back on. I gotta go. I'm sorry. This is not happening.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I'd like to close with, and I'm springing this on Vex a little bit, I'm sorry about this. I'd like to close with a brief segment called Things I Saw on the Internet That I Didn't Like. What this segment is going to be about is we are going to briefly bring up some things that we've seen, because we're both very involved and active in various sexual communities on the internet. Things that relate to our topic that we have seen that we just want to bring up in the topic. Is that okay, Vex?
By all means. Way to spring one on me.
So this collection of things, you know, we're not going to say where they come from, because obviously we respect the anonymity of these various groups. But the first one that I'd really like to bring up, based on a few things that have happened in the past few days, is And we will get into this in our third episode, which is going to be about what kinks are right for me. So tune into that one in a couple weeks' time. But there's a worrying trend, especially among men, who think that consent happens because they have consented, if that makes sense.
Consent happens because they have consented.
So because the man wants to have sex with you, then consent is established.
Yeah, that's not true. Just because you want to have sex with me doesn't mean I want to have sex with you.
Absolutely. And this does extend to other things, as we will be talking about in our What Kink Is Right For Me episode. Just because you want to be someone's dominant, or you want to dominate another person, that does not mean that you have gained consent to do that to someone. You cannot go into someone's DMs and say, "Hello, I'm now your master," or "I am now your dom," or "I am now your owner," if they have not indicated that they want that sort of relationship with you in the first place. And yeah, as Vec said, and as we've both been saying, consent is a two-way street, and the person who has the power to say no, so the person who is having intercourse instigated upon them, has the power here. They are the ones who have to consent. So it doesn't matter if you're all ready to go, if the lube is out and your dick is hard, if the other person has not consented to the act you want to perform or the dynamic that you want to establish with them, drop it. Just drop it. Don't try and convince them into it. Don't try to intimidate them into it. Just drop it. I think John Oliver says it best about consent. Consent is like a boxing match. If both people don't agree to what's going on, one of them is committing a felony.
That's a pretty good analogy. I was always a fan of the T method.
I do like the T method.
honestly, if the person that you want to make tea for, i.e. have sex with, if they are not conscious, they cannot ask for tea. If they are conscious and they ask for tea and you go and make the tea and you come back and they're unconscious, do not give them tea. They cannot properly enjoy it. So I do not understand where people seem to think that just because you've gone to all the trouble to make the tea, you're not gonna, you know, pour it down somebody's throat while they're asleep, are you? That's not how that works. You're going to drown them and bad things happen. So they have to be able to make decisions. They have to be able to say, "Hey, I want tea."
And I think this isn't in the original analogy, but I think it's relevant. If someone says they don't want tea, don't go make them tea and then see if they want it.
Oh, man. It's like unsolicited dick pics. You know, somebody like grinding against you when you've clearly told them no. There's a number of ways where you can try to give someone tea when they have not explicitly asked for tea.
I think the biggest thing that we just haven't really touched on is don't be a fucking idiot. Don't be so oblivious or blinded by your dick or your vagina that you can't hear what the other person is saying or see what the other person is doing. If someone says to you, "Hey babe, I'm not really feeling it tonight, I am on my period and I'm cramping like a motherfucker," that's not an invitation to be like, let me make you feel better then. It's like, no, they've just told you, "Hi, my vagina is destroying itself and I'm in a lot of pain." Believe me, I have seen people try to, like, respond sexually to that.
You can't see it, but I'm shaking my head right now. Just, no. No. No.
Just be aware. If a person is not into what you're laying down, stop laying it down. If a person says something that seems contradictory to having sex and they are not putting out in any way, don't try and make a move. It's really simple, and it makes me sad, just the number of horror stories you'd read about consent. And, you know, I'm going to put men on blast here for a moment. We're largely talking to men here. Yes, before anyone responds to us in the comments, yes, women can violate consent too.
Absolutely.
But a majority of the time, it will be the man who violates consent. And if anyone drops into the comments and tries to, well, actually us about, but women can do it too. No. The men who are listening to this, if they are respectful of consent and they know what they're doing, they know that this message is not for them. This is a not all men scenario here. We don't need to say that phrase because the men who don't do this already know that we're not talking to them. So if you feel the need to come into our comment section and try and defend your weird rapey actions, just go back and listen to the episode again.
Well, was there any other questions that we should cover?
There are no more questions that we received this week. Thank you very much.
Of course.
If you submitted a question for us this week. We are winding down towards the end of the show today. Let's go over some quick housekeeping things then. So we are looking to upload on Sundays.
That's the plan. Sundays.
So Sundays, we will be doing some live episodes. So we will be. So we'll talk about those a little more when we get nearer to the time. So they should be very fun. So that means that our second episode, which is going to be about safe sex practices. So we're just gonna for the first few episodes, we are just gonna keep it on the basics. You know, which, you know, if you're very experienced in sex, might just be nice for a refresher course. So, that means we are going to have an episode about safe sex. So, yes, thank you once again for listening to the first episode of Sexplicit Content. If you want to submit a question to us, you can at sexplicitcontentpodcast@gmail.com.
And we look forward to hearing from you. And just so you know, we're international. We've got Loving Guardian here is from Britain, and I am from the US. So we're covering a wide basis of people. And hopefully you'll be hearing from us quite a bit.
Okay, so keep it real. Keep it sexy. This has been Loving Guardian.
This is Vexing Cat signing off. And remember, we always aim to please.